The following program is a sports handicapping show. That's right, we will be discussing sports betting and all kinds of other gambling stuff, including game predictions. As you know, not every bet will win, but we do our best. Feel free to use this information at your own risk, and remember, wager wisely, folks.
Broadcasting from the Vegas Video Network studios, live from the Las Vegas Strip, Covers.com presents Vegas Sports Day! And now from the sports betting capital of the world, here are your hosts, Teddy and the Professor.
It's Tuesday in Sin City, and you are watching Vegas Sports Day, the pulse of the sports betting world. I'm your host, Teddy Covers, joined as always by my esteemed colleague, the Professor Dave Malinsky.
Coming up today, at a time when everyone is jumping into the pool, we're going to show you where the deepest water is to set up your own brackets. Once you've got those brackets done, of course, there's another bit of music being played. So we'll do some nitpicking to show you how to weave your way through the minor tournaments. And in money time, we're going to break down an NBA team that continues to blaze a trail in the wrong direction.
So, Dave, today's the day, really. March Madness begins in earnest with a couple of NCAA tournament games. We've got NIT, we've got CBI, we've got CIT. We have all four postseason college tournaments in play. But first, we've got to look back at last night. What'd you see that you want to share with our viewing audience for your first take on a Tuesday?
Well, we actually fast-forward from last night to the morning marketplace. Did someone go literally overboard on the totals on these tournament games tonight? We're going to find out in a few hours. We had a couple of groups come in and literally played every college game, not the NCAA tournament games, but every game on the side tournaments over this morning. A few of them trickled back a little bit. There was a buyback on a few, logical buyback on a couple. But you're sitting there now with five games that are more than four full points off of the opening totals. I got someone putting a strong opinion out there. You can understand where some of it comes from. The idea that, look, these are loose, free-flowing tournaments. You might not get the same defensive intensity, maybe a little more tempo than usual. But that may not necessarily be true because of some of the logistical aspects. We'll get to those in our postmortem today. Interesting to chart, and it could be by the end of the day, if some of those moves sit out there as far as they did, we may pluck a few of them back the other way. But it will be a fascinating day to watch that market activity take place. Was it another arena football night?
No, well, there was arena football last night. We cast an arena football ticket last night, which was nice. But, and yeah, I watch the game. That's what I do.
I sit
and watch arena football. There's no question. I always have arena. Arena's only on the computer most of the time. So I got the arena on the computer. I got the screen set up, so I'm watching hoops. It's all good. But we got to talk about the Pistons and what happened at the end of last night's ball game. I mean, we used the Detroit as a play of the day here on Vegas Sports Day yesterday. Detroit plus the 7 at Utah. And part of the thought process was there was an issue with Al Jefferson, didn't know if he was going to play. It turns out his grandmother passed away, and Al Jefferson not only played, he played like a monster throughout the course of that ballgame, maybe the best game I've seen him play all year. There were concerns about whether Rajah Bell was going to play. Bell didn't play in the previous game. He ended up playing, was a defensive stopper. And even with all of that, you know, two key players who, when we were on air yesterday, I don't know if these guys are going to come. Well, they both come. They both play well. Even with all that, scores tied at 87, 5 minutes to play. And what happened after that? Pretty ugly. An 18-3 Jazz run out to close that ball game. Pistons game on the line. Yeah, maybe it's something that we should be aware of. Detroit has had these type of problems. Well, there's no maybe about it. We need to be aware of it. The Pistons have had some issues closing out tight games on the road. But it's a little bit frustrating. When you get two key players both back in the lineup, and you're still right there throughout the course of the game. The whole second half, neither team led by more than three for the last 3 minutes of the game. And boy, Utah put that last push together. Frustrating result for us, but one that we perhaps can learn from and profit from again in the future. All right, Dave, it's time to dance. We have our brackets up. Brackets are up right now. Let's get that screenshot up exactly. Covers.com/postingforum. Just click on the Vegas Sports Day Daily Podcast link right there in the center of the screen or in the center of your computer, and you can see both Dave and my brackets. But you want to talk about our Final Fours? You want to talk about toughest regions, weakest regions? Or you want to just get right to the future board? I know you, Dave. You don't like fooling around.
Well, we know where the questions have come in the most. Where are the best futures options? Now, of course, you can look at the brackets, and you'll see where we're going with a lot of it right there. But to be a little more specific, let's talk about what's the best that we've got in our pockets. Now, again, we talked about this on last week's show. These are not necessarily bets to win the tournament. These are bets to get in a position to do something well later. Most times when we make these futures calls, it's to get to the Elite Eight. Because when you get a nice ticket to the Elite Eight level, there's a lot you can do with it. Three of them are going to stand out. Now, the odds we're going to quote today are from the LVH, formerly the Las Vegas Hilton. Jay Cornegay does as good a job as anyone in the city at putting this stuff together. We've got three that we've got in our pockets pretty good. Let's start with Florida State, which is sitting out there at 40-1, which is a good extreme value. If you saw Florida State this year, you know that their ability to match up against the cream has been terrific. 4-1 straight up against Duke and North Carolina. But here's what we like. There's a confidence factor here. Last year, in the Sweet 16, they lose to Virginia Commonwealth by 1 point in overtime. Otherwise, they're an Elite 18 last year. Eight guys who played in that game are back this year. Now, here's this added confidence. We beat Duke. We beat Carolina on neutrals, on their own courts. We can beat anybody. And that's the truth. They can. They've got an NBA-sized front court. When we play the matchups through their bracket, a lot of favorable situations. Syracuse, the top seed in that bracket, Syracuse's biggest vulnerabilities have to play a half-court game against a physical team, that's Florida State, have to go up against a team that shoots very well from long range over top of that 2-3 zone, that's Florida State. This 40-1 isn't just an Elite Eight, it's a 40-1. I think it's all the way to the Final Four, and when you see the bracket we've got posted, we got the Seminoles all the way to the championship game. But you don't.
No, well, I mean, not in my bracket, I don't. I think Florida State is very much a value play at 40-1, and I certainly, you took the best bets from me, Dave, when you go through at least two of your three I agree with. The one I don't, but you have two real good bets listed here. I'm going to talk about, talking about a team that had a nice run to a conference tournament championship last week. I'm going to talk about a team that had a nice run to a conference tournament championship last week, and that team, of course, being Louisville. You can find them right now at LVH at 30-1. Again, you talk about the vulnerabilities of various regions. Now, in my mind, you have a good debate as to which is the weakest of the four regions. I think the Midwest or the West is clearly a notch or two behind the East and the South. I think the East is the toughest. And then the Midwest or the West are the vulnerable brackets for the higher seeds, potentially the carnage brackets where everyone loses, half their teams the opening weekend. If you look at my bracket, you're going to see a matchup of Louisville and the other team I've got listed here my Elite Eight matchup coming out of the West. So another long shot. But the bottom line is, this is a Cardinals team. We know that they underachieved throughout the first part of the Big East campaign. We know that Louisville was banged up for a good portion of the season. And we know they're playing their best basketball right now. They're deep. They're big. They play defense. They're physical. They're well coached. It's a team capable of going on an extended tournament run. Louisville.
Yeah, what you always have to like about Louisville is you're never out of a game. Patino on the sidelines and that type of a scrappy team. So you like that at tournament time. We've got another one coming out of the Big East. Right now you can get a 50-1 on Georgetown. When you look at the bracket that's posted, I've got Georgetown all the way through to the Final Four. Now this is not a case necessarily of loving Georgetown. It's looking at their bracket and saying they can beat this team and this team, this team. Yeah, you can easily project them through. Key to the Georgetown emergence, Otto Porter, a freshman who became a full-time starter down the stretch. That gives him four guys 6'8 or taller in their starting lineup. Ordinarily, when you're that big, you're a step slow, maybe you don't guard as well on defense. No, they're big, they're athletic, they're quick. Georgetown, an awkward matchup for a lot of the teams that they're going to be up against. So give us that 50-1 with the Hoyas. Certainly get them through the Sweet 16 round. I believe Georgetown gets all the way to the Final Four.
Well, it's a bold prediction and not one that I agree with, being that I have Belmont knocking out Georgetown in the first round in my particular bracket. But again, I like to put a few upset specials. I'm always going to have to put a few upset specials in there because we know it's not going to be the top eight seeds win in each region and then the top four and then the top two and then the number ones. We're not Jay Billis predicting on ESPN right now. You see Billis, by the way? Hilarious, dude. The guy's getting paid, what, $1.5 million a year? So he's going through the brackets. All four regions, he has the number one beating the number two seed in the regional finals. Then the top two ranked number one seeds meeting for the national title, and the number one ranked number one seed winning it all in Kentucky.
Well, that's plenty of time to play golf.
$1.5 million a year he gets for doing that.
You got all day to play golf. You just mail your bracket in and you're done.
Nice and easy. Jay Billis drives me nuts. But anyhow, the other team I want to talk about, Florida. Yeah, Gators, team that just lost four of their last five. But team that took Kentucky to the wire in the SEC tournament, a team that has the talent level. Florida could get bounced out in the first round. Wouldn't shock me if Virginia upsets them. But at the same time, Florida, we talk about at 75-1 at LVH right now. They are a team, if they can win that first game, sky's the limit. The talent level's there. I'm not a huge Billy Donovan fan, but he is definitely a coach that has had success in this particular tournament. He made three trips to the national title game. And they're loaded, and it's a winnable region. So I got Florida meeting Louisville in that Western Region final, an Elite Eight matchup. And if that turns out to be the case, I'll have two real good tickets in my pocket that I'll be able to hedge off at that point.
We'll throw in one more, and we did them on a show earlier this year when we talked about extra special values, and it's Temple, currently available at 100-1. Not necessarily sure that they're a Final Four because of the draw, but at 100-1, if you get through the first week, and I see Temple winning their first two games, you get through that, there's a lot you can do with a 100-1 ticket. Love the chemistry. Love the experience. Keep in mind, if not for that overtime loss to San Diego State last year, they're in a Sweet 16 last year, almost everybody back. Fran Dunphy, a difficult guy to prepare for because he's got so many different defensive combinations. You're going to look at Temple films. You're going to think you're scouting the Temple defense. But that's not going to be the defense that you're actually going to see because he's going to change his matchups for what you bring. Temple at 100-1, yeah, we can get a good ride out of them. So we've got some nice long shot tickets that aren't really stabs. These are teams that are going to go somewhere in this tournament.
Yeah, and I have no argument with Temple at 100-1. Again, they're 100-1 to win it all, but it's not about winning it all. It's about winning through the first weekend. And then you have, with a 100-1 ticket, all kinds of different hedging opportunities. I want to reset the show for the week tomorrow. Remember, it's our special double show. We're going to do all the Thursday NCAA tournament. I guess it's not the opening round. Now it's the second round is the first round. Whatever. All of Thursday's NCAA tournament games, all of Friday's NCAA tournament games on tomorrow's show. Don't know how long it's going to go. Could run well over an hour, but Dave and I are going to break it down. So be sure to tune in. Be sure to set aside a block of time for tomorrow show, again, live at 11 a.m. Pacific time here in Las Vegas, 2 p.m. for those of you on the East Coast. Thursday, we're going to be dark. No show on Thursday. You guys are all going to be watching the games anyway. And we've broken them down yesterday, or we'll have broken them down yesterday on Thursday, being that we're doing the double show tomorrow. So we're dark on Thursday and then back again on Friday for the weekend preview edition. I also want to re-mention that, again, it's nothing formal. If you go to the front desk and say, where's Teddy at tonight, they're not going to be able to tell you. But I'm going to be hanging out in an informal way at the Tropicana Sportsbook tomorrow night on Wednesday. I'm going to watch that Cal-South Florida game there. So that game tips at 6. Come hang out. Say hello if you're in town. Come to the Tropicana. I'll be in the sportsbook. My shirt might not be this bright, but it'll still be me. You'll be able to find me.
Does informal mean you're not buying?
We'll see. If I have to buy drinks, I imagine I will. What are you going to do? But, come check it out tomorrow at the Trop anytime in that 6 to 8 o'clock range. I should be there start to finish. All right. Let me set the email address. We have been getting great emails, even late at night, early in the morning, all kinds of good emails. We're going to discuss on the show as time permits. The address, of course, sportsday@covers.com. And follow us on Twitter, at Vegas Sports Day. We already talked about the posting form. You can find Dave and my brackets listed, covers.com/posting form. Dave and I listing our picks for the Final Four, the championship game, the Elite Eight, the whole nine yards, right there at covers.com.
Of course, the Big Dance is one of only four tournaments being played this week. There's something you can grab out of the other three. We're going to break them down for you next in the postmortem.
Are you looking for the latest odds, the fastest scores, the most important trends, and the best matchups and stats? Are you looking for the key late-breaking information that can make you a winner? Well, Covers.com has the answer. The world's largest sports betting community gives you a front-row seat in the heart of the action, from the opening lines to the final scores. If you want to stay ahead of the game, Covers covers the numbers.
This is David Ivey from Pub Crawl. It's funny because this is David from. You should just leave it on. Hi, I'm David Ivey from Pub Crawl, and you're watching the Vegas Video Network. And scene.
Okay, guys, time to scrub up. Let's get on the operating table now. NIT, CIT, CBI, does any of it make any sense? We think it does.
The NCAA tournament gets underway in Dayton tonight with all the magic attached. We got bright lights, we got special effects, we got national TV coverage, the works. Also getting underway tonight, the NIT, the CBI, and the College Insider tournaments, the bottom of which can easily look more like a three-card Monty game on a street corner by comparison. Especially those last two tournaments. You know, we talk about the CBI and the CIT. By the time the Big Dance and the NIT have taken 100 teams out of the mix, essentially the best 100 teams in the country, there's not a whole lot left. So there's a scramble to put the field together for these minor tournaments, not only in terms of getting the teams, but also in terms of securing home courts. Keep in mind, a lot of these schools are also on spring break right now, which means the support personnel not around, the fans not around, issues to deal with. And it really can create a hodgepodge of results between teams still excited to be playing and teams that are ready for their season to be over. They don't have to go to practice and deal with a coach tomorrow. But once again, that brings probably sports bettors' biggest edge into play. What's sports bettors' biggest edge? Well, the books have to post a line on every single game, side and total, but we don't have to bet every game. We can pick and choose and find our spots. So if we do pick our spots, there's plenty to be found. Let's focus today. How do we pick these spots?
Several key places that we can start with. One, maybe not as dramatic as it used to be now that the NCAA is taking a few more teams than usual, but the old notion of the snubbed team. Now, this is a tricky one because this can go in very disparate directions. Everyone's going to talk the talk. We deserve to be in the NCAA tournament. We're going to go out and prove that we belong. You're going to hear that from all these teams. Drexel's going to say that. Washington's going to say that. Here's the problem. They don't always walk the walk. You know, some of them have that chip on their shoulder. They go out on the court, they play hard, and they play well. Some of them are almost from that opposite extreme. They were so looking forward to being in the NCAA tournament, especially when they thought they were going to be there. A team like Washington, you win your regular season conference championship, you think you're there already. So when that rug's pulled out from underneath, sometimes you don't get that secondary motivation to come into play. So naturally, you start with those teams, but try to read between the lines a little bit. If they say, yes, we're going to go out and we're going to prove it, that doesn't always mean they're going to. And Washington can be a truly unique case. One of the big motivators in the NIT, you win your first couple of games, trip to Madison Square Garden. That's exciting for almost everyone in college basketball. In some ways, you'd almost rather get to the NIT semifinals than lose in the first round or two of the Big Dance. There's something magical about that. But here's the problem. Remember back to our December shows? Washington played a couple of games in the Garden back in December. They played Marquette. They played Duke. They turned it into such a big trip that the players were given academic credits for going to plays and writing papers about it. Does it actually mean anything to these guys to go back to New York when they've already had that kind of experience? So, yeah, you're going to read about these teams that say they have a chip on their shoulder. It doesn't always mean that that chip is really there.
Yeah, I mean, you tend to see a lot of money come in against what the betting market considers to be uninterested home favorites. Look at Mississippi State tonight, where UMass has taken the money in that ballgame. We did see some buyback the other way, but there's definitely the thought process in the betting markets that the teams that were close to the Big Dance and didn't get bids may come out a little bit flat here, and that's a bigger issue when there's travel involved from those teams. It's one thing to be able to play at home and perhaps get some crowd support, but when you're hitting the highway in those situations, boy, they tend to be bet-against type of spots. But the home courts are an interesting thing to discuss here, because you have to view the concept of home court advantage very carefully in these minor tournaments. Again, we talked about many of the students being on, or many of the campuses being on spring break right now. Some of these home courts that have been vibrant, exciting places all season, you don't want to see an NIT game, they sold 2,000 tickets. You know, nobody's thrilled, the place is dead. Certainly, we're talking about NIT motivation for home teams. Man, they need to feed off that crowd energy. When you don't have the crowd energy, that's when a lot of times you'll see those poor efforts and home favorites going down in flames. But at the same time, the visitors, well, they've got issues to deal with too, Dave, don't they?
Yeah, you like, fans are going to be there. Let's bet against that home team. Some of these visiting teams, it's very difficult. Remember, for the last couple of months, it's been nothing but conference play, which means that usually you're familiar with the road courts you're playing at. Usually teams stay in the same hotels, same travel itineraries, a little bit of familiarity. Well, now all of a sudden you're being scrambled into a hat. Remember, there are games being played tonight that these teams didn't even know about until late Sunday night. So you're Massachusetts. You draw Mississippi State. Now you get up Monday morning, call your travel agent. We got to get to Starkville, Mississippi. And your agent says, well, from Amherst, Massachusetts, you can't do that. That might be a three-flight trip for them to make. Robert Morris goes to Indiana State tonight. What do? They get on a bus for a seven-hour bus ride on Monday. No other way to get it done. So again, you're scrambling here. You've never been at these venues before. You've got to adjust to the shooting backgrounds. You may not get there in time for any sort of a shoot-around or a practice. They stay in a hotel you've never been in before. So there's that difficulty that comes into play with the travel. Now, the tournaments do the best they can to make the opening game as regionally tight as possible, especially when you get outside the NIT. When you get to those lower two, they want to try to make those trips real easy because they're forcing the schools to come out of pocket without a whole lot of reward. But for some of these trips, take a close look. The more difficult it is for that visiting team, obviously the more it's worth for the home team.
Sure. And there's scouting issues to deal with here, too. I mean, you brought up the Robert Morris situation. You know, so what happens? Robert Morris gets the call late Sunday night. You have to play in Terre Haute against Indiana State, less than 48 hours from now. Okay, you guys go get ready. Well, you got to coordinate the bus ride. You got to get the players together. You got to get to the venue. Not much time and not much film access. It's not like these conference games where everyone knows everyone, and that has something to do with something that Dave talked about at the top of the show with these totals getting bet up. You don't have the familiarity with the opponent, which means that teams can do what they like to do a little bit more as opposed to what their conference opponents, who see them two or three times a year, force them into doing. So now we have situations where the scouting reports, not a lot of time to create a scouting report, not a lot of time to create a game plan against a particular opponent, and not a lot of time to do anything in these situations. So we like to focus on teams that have a very specific style that teams oftentimes need film study to prepare for. Those teams tend to be good bets because they're going to go out and play their game no matter what, no matter who the opponent is or what the venue, this is what they do. And we also like to look at teams that are a little bit tricky to prepare for whatever reason, on either side of the court. Teams that have an alternate defensive approach or an alternate offensive approach tend to be good first-round bets in these second-tier tournaments.
So one of the issues that comes into play with scouting is motivation. Even if you want to show films to your players, they have to care to watch them. And even if you want to put a scouting report out there, they have to care to follow through with it. Here's the difficulty in these tournaments. Outside of, you know, some of these teams from the Ivy League, which don't have a postseason tournament, everyone in these brackets just lost their last game. They were all aiming for something better. Now, some of these tournaments were held not this past weekend, but the weekend before. So let's say a week and a half ago, you lost, your season's over, and now you get this call Sunday night. Oh, by the way, you got to suit up again. We're going to go play in this tournament. A lot of these kids don't want to. You're actually taking their spring break away from them in several instances. So this idea that, oh, they're in a tournament, they're going to be excited to extend their season, that's not always the case. We will read through the lines very carefully today and tomorrow. When we say reading through the lines, not the betting lines, but what we're seeing out of the newspaper reports, out of the players' comments. If we see some teams that really aren't interested, or maybe if nothing else, don't want to play anymore, say, oh, come on, the season's over. We were going to go to Cabo. My girlfriend was going to join me there. I got to get on a bus. You're going to find some very, very flat teams out there. That's what you want to be looking for today, tomorrow, and even into Thursday. Now, once they've won a game, you get into the second round, now there's that confidence, there's that adrenaline, tends to shift a little bit. But a lot of these teams out there tonight and tomorrow, they don't care.
Yeah, a lot of one and done, basically half the field. So there's a little primer for you for the lesser tier tournaments. When we come back, it's time to shift our focus to the NBA as money time begins.
Hey, I'm Al Mann.
Is that how you get them to do that all the time? Just sit there and be an ass. Is that it?
Hey, I'm Al. Hey, I'm Al Mancini at Top of the Food Chain. You are watching the Vegas Video Network. We got big forks, big spoons. I got a big mouth. I got no guests.
Livestream is your premier place to watch live events on the web, mobile devices, and connected TVs. See new events daily or broadcast your own at livestream.com. Livestream. Be there.
Raise the roof time, y'all. It's money time. I just do the raise the roof at least once a week just to get the look on Dave's face. You guys don't get to see it, but trust me, it's worth it for me. It's just a good laugh.
And they wonder why I won't be at the Trop.
Yeah. Nice look. All right. This edition of Money Time is brought to you by Covers.com. Remember, for all the key information you need in every sport, Covers covers the numbers. Let's start tonight in Orlando, where the Miami Heat, about a 4-point road favorite against the Magic. And this is, you know, the trade deadline continues to approach. The latest from Orlando, not only are they going to keep Dwight Howard, they're going to try to acquire additional pieces to make a championship run with Dwight Howard before the trade deadline. Obviously, we'll have to see how that plays out. Otis Smith, a GM who's been under a fair bit of criticism for his inability to surround Howard with championship-level talent. But this might be Dwight Howard's last home game as a member of the Orlando Magic. It might be just the start of another extended stretch of Dwight Howard playing for Orlando. 48 hours, obviously, till the trade deadline. That's what, I believe, noon. Is it noon or 5 p.m.? It's on Thursday, bottom line. So all this trade hype will die down. But for the next 2 days, you definitely need to be, really, the next 3 days, we definitely need to be aware of it. The rumors add up. That's the nature of the media culture. And there's one other thing we also know, besides Dwight Howard being on the court for tonight. Well, this is the third go-round between these two teams. Orlando wins by 13 on this floor. Miami wins by 12 at home in the first two meetings. But the common denominator in those two ball games, look at what Miami scored. 90 and 89 points. Orlando's defense doing the job, right? Or maybe there's another factor in play here.
A little bit of concentration on the other end of the court. As we see Stan Van Gundy breaking this matchup down, they understand one thing. If we get Miami to a half-court game, we're pretty good here. No one's getting to the basket against Dwight Howard, so now we turn Miami to a bunch of jump shooters, which they're not terribly good at. So let's take this quote from Van Gundy and let you have a look at it. We think this is very significant for the way that he approaches this game. But I think our offense is really key in that game. It's not necessarily a matter of how many points we score, but we can't be turning the ball over. We can't be jacking up bad shots. What's Stan Van Gundy telling us? Tempo here. He would rather hold the ball for 23 seconds in the shot clock, take a decent shot, then throw something up quick that can get Miami running the other way. It's almost a prevent offense that we may see them playing at times. That could matter. Not so much that we want to trust Orlando to be in the hunt, but maybe that total being a little high. The fact that they've held Miami down as well as they have does tell us something.
It certainly does, Dave. And the bottom line is that the Heat likely to bring good defensive pressure tonight as well. They're fresh. This is only their second game in the last 6 days. Not likely to have Mike Miller on the floor, but that certainly doesn't hurt if you're looking to bet this game under the total. Miller, much more an offensive threat than a defensive lockdown defender. And this is, you know, a point in the season where Miami, I mean, they're up against it schedule-wise right now. They play Orlando here. Or they play at Chicago tomorrow, at Philly on Friday. It's a type of year, a type of point in time during the year we would expect a Heat team that has allowed only 89 points per game in regulation since the All-Star break and has risen to number 4 on the best set of NBA defensive rankings. Now's the time that Miami has stepped it up on the defensive end. We can expect more of that, perhaps, this evening.
Let's head to Indianapolis. Right now, the host Pacers, a 3.5-point favorite over Portland. Two teams that looked like contenders not too long ago. Both seemingly struggling right now, but we're wondering, is that the true reality? Portland, only 2 wins since the All-Star break, over the Hornets and over the Wizards. Nothing terribly impressive there. Indiana also seemingly struggling, 4 straight losses. But take a look at those. At Chicago, at Miami, at Orlando, it's a tough little cycle, and a close home game to Atlanta. Keeping in mind, the Orlando loss in there, almost a giveaway. They had fallen in Miami in overtime the night before. They were tired. Decided to make it one of these let's let the game go types, where Paul George being the only starter that even got to 30 minutes. So while there's an appearance that both are slumping, Portland's is earnest, Indiana's maybe not so, except for one key area, and this has been real disappointing, a team that had been terrific with their physical play around the basket. Boy, they fell off in that 0-4. They got out-rebounded by minus 51. That's real extreme over a 4-game cycle for what should be a team strength. The one guy they've got to get back in gear, Roy Hibbert, who just simply has not come back well since the All-Star break. Hibbert before the break, 13.8 points per game, 51.2% shooting. Since the break, it's down to 7.7 points a game, only shooting 37.8. That's not good when a lot of your shots are point blank. But now here's that window of opportunity. Again, sometimes when you have a bad loss, like the Orlando loss, when you get the starters out early, you get a break. Chance to get your legs fresh. Could returning home actually be the tonic for Indiana tonight?
It might be. I mean, realistically, the loss at Orlando on Sunday was so bad. You know, as you mentioned, we saw the Pacers throwing the towel early. The only starter to get 30 minutes of game time in that contest was Paul George. So they'll be relatively fresh for this one. And obviously losing 4 in a row, we'd expect them to bring the appropriate level of motivation. And they might have the ideal opponent to face. I mean, we've talked about Portland a lot on this show. We'll continue to talk about Portland as long as we're making money betting against them. You know, the wheels have really come off for the Trailblazers. Nate McMillan's job in jeopardy. New rumors about the coaching staff in Portland on a daily basis. Hey, you have Jamal Crawford involved in trade rumors. He was their big free agent signing this past offseason. They signed into a long-term deal. It might not even last 3 months with the Blazers right now. And, you know, 5 of their last 7 opponents have scored 104 points or more. The defensive effort hasn't been there. And we're going to bring, you know, here we go again with one of our favorite performance patterns of any team this entire NBA season has been what we've seen out of Portland. Let's run this graph one more time. We've done well fading the Blazers in these close encounter type of ball games. Again, a lines of minus 4 to plus 4, games where Portland is supposed to be relatively even with their opponent, regardless of the venue. 2-16 straight up, 1-16-1 against the spread for the Blazers. You put them on the road in these close encounter contests, 0-12 straight up, 0-12 against the spread. That's a track record that is so strong, Dave, we may have to come back to that one before this show is through.
Coming up next, not everyone in this studio was at the first ever concert in the Smith Center last night, as certain people behind the camera continue to remind us. But for us, the music finally begins. NCAA tournament starts right after this break.
Traditional media believes that after about 3 minutes, you'll tune out. Most Vegas media companies think if it doesn't jiggle, you won't tune in. At the Vegas Video Network, we think both are wrong. The Vegas Video Network is the first and only live online broadcast network that specializes in insider news and expert views about Vegas. We combine great storytelling with the ability to watch when and where you want, on your computer, mobile device, or television. Discover the real Las Vegas. Visit VegasVideoNetwork.com.
Yeah, it's big dance time. None of these minor tournaments. It's center stage for the NCAA. We're going to take a look at the opening round games in Dayton, Ohio. Let's get that graph up there. This is what we have. Western Kentucky, -3 over Mississippi Valley State. BYU -2 over Iona. Lamar -3 over Vermont. That's tomorrow. And Cal -2 over South Florida. There we have it, Dave. Those, the four quote-unquote play-in games, are the only four first-round. God, that first-round stuff makes me crazy. But they are the four first-round games. Everything else in the NCAA tournament, second round and beyond. Where do you want to start? Let's start with the first one. West Kentucky, Mississippi Valley State.
Yeah, we're going to trip ourselves up over time by saying first-round games being Thursday, Friday. We're going to say play-in. It flows off the tongue better. It's a fascinating game. Western Kentucky, one of the most amazing turnarounds you're going to see in college basketball. Remember back in early January, Coach Ken McDonald gets fired after a loss at UL against UL Lafayette, when Lafayette had six players on the court at the end of the game, and McDonald just didn't notice, didn't file an appeal. He lost his job. Well, they rally, as teams often do. They find a little bit of the chemistry. Ray Harper actually has had the job extended. He'll be the coach coming in next year as well. They win the last six games in a row to get here, including four in 4 days in the Sun Belt tournament, but they were all by 6 points or less. A lot of bounces of the ball, a lot of little magic there. Sometimes when teams extend that magic too far, the clock strikes midnight on a Cinderella, and it's the downtime after that tournament win where you lose that momentum. They've had a lot of downtime since they won the Sun Belt.
Yeah, I mean, these are certainly two of the weaker entrants in the double NCAA tournament field. And when you're talking about a bad versus bad matchup on a neutral floor, and again, we're talking about NCAA tournament team, so relatively bad versus relatively bad matchup.
No, they're bad.
on a neutral court, it can almost be like laying one minus 115 or minus 120 on either side instead of laying minus 110, or if you have a reduced juice shop, you can lay minus 104. There's an added element of randomness in play from, you know, certainly from a Western Kentucky team that was on the lucky end of a number of those victories to win the Sun Belt Conference tournament title. It's a situation where you can't rely on these teams bringing the same type of success they had in their own particular conference tournaments. That being said, this is a Western Kentucky team. And I'm disappointed they didn't get more play here on Vegas Sports Day. But the bottom line is, if you look at Western Kentucky from where they were, I don't know, let's say mid-January, 2 months ago, to where they are now, I don't know if there's a team in the country that's better from a power rating perspective than Western Kentucky in terms of the level of improvement. They're probably 12, 14, maybe even 15 points better than they were 2 months ago at this time. So you start to look at full season power ratings, maybe Western Kentucky's still cheap, even after the betting markets pounded them down this morning. They're certainly not a team I'm looking to bet against. For me, it's Hilltoppers or nothing in this one, even though their opponent, Dave, five senior starters.
Yeah, Mississippi Valley's a tough team to chart because of the unusual schedule. Second year in a row, play all of November, December on the road. And we're talking about tough, tough venues. Basically, they say, you know what, we need money in our program. So we will let you pay us to beat us. Sacrificial lambs, but in a lot of tough places. So these seniors got good experience against tough competition. They may be a sneaky player. Like I said, I think that Western Kentucky magic has a way of working. But here's the problem with this game and also with Lamar and Vermont. Once upon a time, these teams would have been out there taking 25 against somebody good on Thursday or Friday, coming in with no pressure whatsoever. So all you think is, okay, will they scrap hard? Will they play with pride? Here's the problem. You're throwing four teams into the mix now with pressure, and they're not accustomed to that kind of pressure. You're being expected to go out and win a game now. I would much rather have either of these teams taking 18 or 19 against the Kansas, against the Duke, than this type of matchup. Because, again, at this level, at that C-minus level, pressure is not always a good thing. That's two of these matchups. This next one, though, Brigham Young, Iona. That's a little different story. These are teams that do know how to win. Brigham Young, a perennial NCAA tournament team. Iona, they're fun to watch. Two-point guards in the lineup, love to get up and down the floor, scored more points than any team in the nation this year. Their problem tonight, though, isn't when they have the ball. It's when BYU has the ball. Can Iona get a stop?
And frankly, I think the answer to that is no. You know, the total in this game is $162. You're not going to see, are we going to see a total higher than that this year? Than the buck 62 and a half?
Not in the tournament.
Yeah.
We will not see a higher.
I don't think we see it yet. This is, and I think that total is absolutely warranted. I watched a lot of MAC basketball. MAC, not the Mid-American Conference, the Metro Athletic. No, not Metro. You know what I'm saying? The, with two A's in the middle, not the with one A in the middle.
Live at the Trop tomorrow. There, you know.
Informal, Dave.
Informal, yeah.
Exactly. But
BYOB. Actually, it should be BYOW. Bring your own wallet.
Yeah, good thinking.
Okay, now you're ready. Go ahead.
No, I'm still not ready. But the bottom line for the Gaels, Dave talked about what they're good at. They are a very proficient offensive team. They take good shots. They take a lot of shots. They take the ball to the basket. They have a good interior presence. They've got good perimeter shooters, and they play at an up-tempo pace. And we saw it, remember the Bracket Buster game against Nevada, up and down the court the whole way. There's no reason to think that tonight's matchup against BYU is going to be any different. BYU will push the pace against any team that will let them. Iona will push the pace against any team that will let them. So, yeah, it's the highest total on the board, but it's the highest total on the board for a reason. The only thing we got to worry about, missed shots in Dayton. At times, this particular gym and this particular venue have been a little bit rough on the shooters. And if that's the case, we won't see the points that I expect. But $162.5, a little bit high, but the only way I can look here is over.
So you can see a big class difference between the first game and the second game. The second play-in, these are real teams. Now, they were the last two at-large teams to get into the field, but they're still pretty good. When we move on to tomorrow, okay, now here comes Lamar in Vermont, and now a problem similar to the Western Kentucky Mississippi Valley setup. Here are two teams that now have a little bit of pressure. You're not going out there loose against the big power that you're not supposed to beat anyway. Lamar, like Western Kentucky, what a big turnaround. Pat Knight had one of the biggest tirades of the season, talking about how disappointed he is in the senior class at Lamar. You can YouTube and see that tirade. They go 6-0 from that point. Did they buy in? You'd like to think that. You'd like to think, oh, there's the story, we believe. Or did they just run through a weak conference field in their tournament? I'm not sure I want Lamar necessarily to extend themselves, because the very issues that led to that tirade in the first place, they're likely to still be creeping around there somewhere. So again, we're not in a hurry when it's these C-minus versus C-minus programs in a pick'em type game. I don't want either of these teams necessarily in my pockets if it's a tie game with 2 minutes left. Yeah, the plus three, if you don't have an opinion, gives you a little bit of a cushion. I'm just not in a hurry for it.
Yeah, and again, according to the covers.com matchup pages, between these two teams, they're 8-2 against the spread so far this season, which tells us, number one, obviously from non-line conferences, the only time they're getting lined is in the conference tournaments and in select few non-conference games. And number two, obviously, haven't seen these two teams. I have not seen Lamar play this year. I saw Vermont play once, but it wasn't a game that I was fully focused on. I think that was on bracket. Was that a bracket? It was at one point this year. I know I've seen Vermont play. But the bottom line is, these are not two teams I've been following all year. They're not two teams that I've seen a lot. And when you get a matchup, it's one thing if there's one team that you haven't seen. All right, you can dig up. You can do some research. You can get a good idea of what that team is. When both teams are of that nature, I tend not to get involved. I really don't. There are plenty of other options on this board, and I'm not going to try to read about a team, both teams, in an effort to, okay, well, now I'm familiar with them, and I can bet them comfortably. It's just not that particular strategy is not one that I use, so this is a game that, for me, is a clear pass.
So much like tonight, tomorrow night you're going to see two C-minus teams, and then the talent level steps up. That nightcap, Cal South Florida, much better brand of basketball. You saw South Florida play some really nice basketball down the stretch in the Big East. But sometimes we talk about the fact that even if the odds makers are right, you can still win a game. This may be one of those cases here. Yeah, competitive game. If it is, we think we have somewhere to go. Mike Montgomery, 4 years now at Cal. This is the third NCAA tournament appearance in those 4 years. NIT last year got into the second round of that. So look at a guy like Jorge Gutierrez, the starting point guard. Pac-12 Player of the Year and Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year. This is his third rodeo. He played in a couple of NCAA tournament games as a freshman. So when we get this close game late, here's a team who's been here, has a lot of adjustments they can make on offense. Here's a team that hasn't been here before. Tie game, 2 minutes left, guess what you've got? Not only a big gap in the coaching experience, but how about a senior point guard, Conference Player of the Year, against a pure freshman point guard? Those are the settings we look for, because, again, if the line's right and the game is close, who's going to make the plays in a close game?
Yeah, Stan Heath is a coach that has had tournament success, maybe not where you would think that it came from, I remember riding Heath and the Kent State Golden Flashes, led by a power forward by the name of Antonio Gates. And they made it all the way to the Elite Eight one year, and that kind of got Heath rolling in the major conference college basketball area, where, you know, he moved on and got bigger and better jobs. But Mike Montgomery at Cal, it's a guy, obviously, who coached at Stanford for many years. Talk about a first-round track record. His teams have played first-round Big Dance games 12 times. They've won 11 of those ball games. Montgomery, one coach who I like in these short turnaround and prepare for an opponent you haven't seen a type of contest. He's got a very, very good track record in that particular role. But, Dave, obviously, first-round March Madness stuff right here, but that's not play of the day stuff. What do we got for play of the day?
Yeah, there's nothing you can necessarily jump out at here, but tell you what we have to do is let's go back to the windows. Again, we've talked about Portland, their difficulties in these tough situations on the road. Lack of direction and depth at point guard. LaMarcus Aldridge, the only go-to player in their offense at the end game. And look at how bad that Portland defense has fallen off since the All-Star break. Let's go to Indiana. Let's take the Pacers. Lay that 3.5 one more time again. Even if the odds makers are right, even if it is a close game late, there's so much more the Pacers can do with their X's and O's than the Trailblazers can. One more time, let's play on Portland to fail in this setting.
Yeah, because the price on Indiana, Dave's part bird, say it.
Cheap, cheap.
Nothing. Nothing at all.
There that's was, it. No, that's, you're exactly right. Nothing.
Nailed it. All right. Pacers
Tuesday at the Trop, guys, you know?
Wednesday.
Okay. Wednesday at the Trop.
That's it. That's going to wrap up today's edition of Vegas Sports Day. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to spend with us. For Malinsky, I'm Savransky. Enjoy the games and good luck. We'll see you again for the monster double edition Vegas Sports Day Big Dance Preview Show mañana.